Hi, this is Ron Jeffries. You're listening to the Agile Uprising Podcast.
Everybody to another edition of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I, this week, am your host, Chris Merman. I'm doing so that I will shut up and let other people talk this week. I am joined by some wonderful colleagues. First by Andy Clef. Say hello, Andy.
Hey, guys. Who else is showing up? Who are the wonderful folks?
Well, that's a wonderful, inauspicious way to introduce Jay Hershko. Jay.
Hello. Good evening.
So as you guys can tell, Andy is a super awesome expert at podcasting. So this should be an interesting experience for all. Not that Jay and I are experts in any way, fashion, or form. So what brings us together is what started an interesting discussion on Agile Uprising. For those of you that have not checked it out, please go to coalition.agileuprising.com. This post was by Andy, called Why Red is Good. This started from what I would assume is a colleague mentioning a comment of, you know, this idea of green, yellow, red that we use in reporting. And he said, his friend mentioned, hey, could red be good? And conversation kind of evolved from there. So Andy, I'll kind of tee you up to start us off by saying, like, what did you mean by that? Like, what was the context that kind of prompted this post on our website, and what interested you about the topic?
So briefly, what started it was I was building an internal team health check, loosely based on the Spotify squad health check model, and saying, you know, so what do we call good? Is it green? What do we call bad? Red? And my colleague said, well, you kind of need to check the culture, the subculture that you're in, because there's really two different possible interpretations of red. And you want to be careful, because this needs to be a tool for the team, right? So the possible interpretations for red that we are all used to is it's a request for help, but it can also be interpreted in places that it's a signal as a failure to reach some performance metric. And so I started to think, well, how do we actually know what the climate is? And so a couple of telling questions that came up for me is, what happens when people report problems up the chain? Does the organization have a culture and a mindset that supports and encourages problem solving? If they do, that's a red is a good climate. Red is good. The focus will be on, let's go see. This is a request for help. In the other place, there's nothing subtle. When you come in and say red, it's viewed as bad. And the message is green is good.
So I guess let me take that baton and kind of pass it over to Jay. So Jay, what is your experience with red versus green, and how did Andy's original comment strike you?
Well, I think the Andy's statement that resonated most with me is, well, we need to understand the climate first. We need to understand what we mean by when we say something is red, something is yellow, or something is green, because even across organizations is one thing, across different companies, you know, company A, company B, company C, but even inside of an organization, different people have different interpretations of when I mark something red, yellow, or green. I tend to look at red as, if I'm saying I'm red, right? If I'm looking in traditional waterfall, right? Red means that I am not going to accomplish my scope, my budget, or my predetermined time, or my predetermined quality, right? Say they are in triangle. I am in danger of not hitting those things because I have encountered something that I have no solution to. That's how I've always looked at red. So I look at red as a cry for help. That's how I've always looked at it. It's, hey, I have a problem that I can't solve, so I'm reaching out to the PMO or whomever in the organization as a whole to get help. Green means I'm going okay. I have nothing going on right now that's impeding my progress, and everything looks good. Yellow is, to me, traditionally has always been, hey, I'm hitting some bumps in the road. I have some things popping up that I'm wary of. However, I cannot say demonstrably or with any certainty that this is going to result in a problem in the future. So that's how I've always looked at it. But then again, you stick three PMs in a room from the same company and ask them to explain what red, yellow, or green means, you're going to get three completely different answers.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I fall more in the J camp as opposed to the Andy camp, mainly because I was always taught, or I guess the red, yellow, green comes from traffic lights. And so when the light is green, traffic's flowing smoothly, right? You know, yellow means like, hey, we're about to stop. Red means we are stopped. So I've always, as someone who has been the PM in that meeting, I have thought red means we cannot continue. So I guess that tells me there is something going on that I cannot resolve. And so Andy, does when you think of, I guess if we're looking at a traditional PM, you know, background where green is everything's moving straight ahead, red means we're stopped, where does the red usually initiate? Is it like if you were the one saying we're red, where does the red initiate from?
Well, let me back it up a little bit, because I think in that traditional PMO mentality, the colors are viewed as grades. And when you bubble things up in the daily, weekly, whatever PowerPoint deck to your leadership, you know, green is good, and you're incentivized to show everybody that you've got the game under control, you're meeting or exceeding all expectations, and you end up going to extraordinary lengths to deliver what one of us on the chain in the coalition called a watermelon green, right? You find a way to make it green on the outside, whether the problem's resolved or not, right? And in that climate, the reporting loses all legitimacy, and it just becomes bureaucracy. When saying I am stopped or I'm in danger is a bad thing, the report means nothing. You just deliver watermelons. Yep. Just please don't cut it open while I'm here, because it's really red inside and I want to get the hell out of this meeting. So I'm just going to, green is good.
Yeah. I've never sat in that meeting and wanted to be the PM that's red or even yellow for that matter. I've been in some very fragile cultures where yellow is, wait, you guys were green. Now you're yellow. What's changed? What's happened? Which sort of sniffs like a potential for good behavior, but really in the end, PMs always explain it away, or at least so that the collateral damage doesn't shift upon them. Right, Jay?
Right. I have been in those meetings. We called them the Monday morning come to Jesus meetings, 2.5 hours with the senior director and all the leadership team. And it was basically like going to the Inquisition, right? You had to get up and defend your honor, defend your project and why you decided to go red, as if it was the project manager or whomever, the team lead's decision, and what you're going to do to fix it. So like Andy said, red is bad. Red elicits blame. So let me ask this, a slight aside here. When you assume red is bad, is that a reflection of the leadership where they're just looking at things as like a what gets measured, gets managed, gets done, that sort of like in the box manager? Is that really a reflection of that corporate culture?
Ooh, that's a good question, Jay. Andy, I don't know about your experience, but mine has been, the only way, like in many organizations where either I've been an FT or a consultant, often the only way you can get leadership to pay attention to the problems that you're having is by marking your project red. I remember as a consultant within the last year on a project, I remember talking to a BA who was having a real issue with the security team not greenlighting VPN access to this environment that we really, really, really needed. And I said, well, you know, what do you think we should do about it? Just trying to get that BA to kind of start thinking. And he said, oh, I'm absolutely lighting my project red today. And I said, wow, that seems really severe. Why do you feel like that's the best decision? He said, that's the only way that they'll actually listen to me in the meeting. If I'm yellow, they'll just say, oh, well, we'll get to it. But the only way I can get them to pay attention is to say red. Like, that seems kind of drastic, right, Andy?
It seems drastic and also perverse, right? So when it goes red, what happens? You get attention, but not to solve the problem. What I've seen it used as is a weapon, like to go seek blame. Okay, why are you red? Well, because this other team over there isn't delivering.
Right.
So go beat the crap out of them, please, higher up. Or escalate it, you know? Escalate it up to make sure that they mitigate this risk to get me back in green, right? It's not used as an effective communication device or a problem-solving device. It's used as a club.
Right, and don't you artificially create that like hero firefighting culture? If the only time people listen is red, people are popping off fireworks every chance they get because as soon as they think they need help. And if you have someone who's, say, not very good or not very experienced, who doesn't understand how to traverse the corporate landscape, they may make things red all the time because they don't know how to ask for help any other way. And that's a cultural problem. That's a much bigger elephant sitting in the middle of the room.
And then the mission then is get to green as quickly as possible. Not take your time, diagnose the problem, come up with solutions and solve it, right? It's just used in this dysfunctional communication method. There's so many better ways. But it requires such a dramatic cultural shift.
Right. Like I personally did my fair share of managing teams and managing people. I've done my fair share of PM work. And I looked at red as what's the term? An unrealized opportunity, right?
Right.
It's not a problem. It's an opportunity you've yet to embrace. I always preferred my people. I think it's Cusack that says bad news doesn't get better with age, right? I always wanted to know when something was going bad. So let's talk about it and solve for it. And the problem isn't when you have an issue, right? The problem is when you have the same issue multiple times and you're not enacting structural changes to prevent it from happening in the future.
So that kind of brings up there was a comment on the site about someone thought that red, yellow, green was interestingly enough a metric, right? Which kind of plays into sort of what both of you are saying about in terms of creating attention or status or, you know, now your metrics, like all your project or your project being green meant, you know, hey, I'm doing good, as if the PM or whoever's in charge of that project has anything to do with the actual work getting delivered on time or on budget or whatever kind of a thing. So I don't know, which it seems like we're all sniffing around this idea of really it's these colors signify something different than what we should really actually be talking about, which is sort of what you, Andy, at the end sort of kind of alluding to, which is a problem-solving opportunity, right? It's an opportunity being good as opposed to bad. So is it really truly a metric? Is it really something to compare to, or really should it be something that's in like an abstract of other things around them?
I think it's the last. It's an abstract, and it's unfortunately used as a grade, right? So we've all talked about, you know, if you're all green, you passed with flying colors. In that coalition thread that we had going, I shared a great white paper from the Air Force, and we can provide a link to it in the show notes. But there's a general, Bill Creech, who was doing his damnedest to create this Red is Good culture in the Air Force for maintenance of our warfighting machines. And his quote was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's true. But if you don't know it's broke, it don't get fixed. And so for us, and as Jay, you had mentioned, Red is just an indicator beacon that tells the team, it tells the leadership, we need to look here and nurture, not blame, but this sort of collective problem solving, this collaboration to say, do we have a pattern? Is this a one-off? And you said it nicely, Jay, is if the problem keeps repeating itself, what are we doing here?
Right.
Right. Well,
there's a deeper structural issue at play, be it culture, be it right resources, the right skill set in the right spots. My thing was you could have leaders. I mean, I had experience where I worked for, in hindsight, you know, your best leaders, you never realize that they're your greatest leaders until they leave or you move on. And then you look back and say, man, that person was really talented. I worked for someone where I used to have to go to those red, yellow, green, come to Jesus meetings, and not just as a contributor, but I had to present. And I used to go in and I would think to myself on the drive into work, it was an hour drive. Okay, well, if I was in this person's shoes, what would I ask? And then what's my answer, right? So I'd game it out. And this I started to do early in my career because I wasn't sure the questions I was going to get. And I came to learn that this person, when I would bring up a Project Red, the first question would be, okay, you're Red, so why? What happened? And I would explain we had some delays, the services team got held up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this person used to always turn it on its ear. And after asking enough questions to feel confident that I was explaining my problem, and also I had my hands around the problem, the next question that they asked was always great. They always said, what can I do to help get you back to on track? And that's where the meat and potatoes were. Because then I could say, well, I need help with this person. I need some resource prioritization here. Maybe a contractor from the other team that's sort of idle with low end cycles would help. But if it's, to your point, if it's used to drive good conversation and solve things, it's not a bad grade. It's just it's sort of like a bad grade cry for help, but that's the way you should use it. And too often it's bad PM, bad project. What'd you do? Fix it.
Right. So I really think if we change the conversation to Red is good and problems are viewed as opportunities rather than failures or threats, we are truer to this agile mindset that we all believe in. We want to continuously improve. And if the overarching message is, no, green is good, I don't want to hear about the problems, we never have that opportunity. We never have that opportunity.
Yeah, so the perfect example is what I mentioned earlier about the project I went on where the BA said, hey, I'm going to mark us as red because the security team's not giving us a VPN connection that my environment needs. Well, if in a more healthy culture, and we can get to this in just a second of when can Red be healthy, but in a healthier culture and to the point of we should be viewing this as a problem-solving opportunity or just an opportunity in general, executives could have been saying, wow, we made this request to the security team to open up a VPN tunnel to an environment several weeks ago, and really it was months ago. But they said weeks ago. Why, you know, what's happened since then? Why do they feel like that? Why has this been such a delay? And say, is this an opportunity to review our security review measures? Is this an opportunity to review how these type of requests come in? Is there a way to optimize this? Is this a way to kind of aid in this in the future? Right? They didn't. They just said, yell at the security team. I don't care what you have to do. Just get it done because I need this off my plate because that's the only way to get everybody to stop yelling and cards to start moving again, right? Like it became a stick as opposed to carrot. So Andy, let me throw this back to you. What in your opinion denotes Red being good?
What about it is good?
Yeah. What is a situation where it actually? I mean, I just described an actual real world scenario, but like, why should we change our thinking in terms of Red being good?
I'm reminded there's a great story that came out of Toyota, I think it was mentioned again in that Air Force white paper. So Toyota opened plants in the U.S. and they tried to instill their TPS, total quality mentality, that, you know, the Toyota production system. And part of that is red is good. And so the president Watanabe came over and visited one of his plants, and he's walking through, and all the managers are really proud because all the key metrics are green, right? And they're showing off all the green, 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 green. And Watanabe says, in earshot of everybody, of all the proud US managers, "Ah, no problems, must need no managers." And they're like, "Oh, shit. Oh, can we curse on this podcast? I forget." Yeah. But his point is, like, metrics and goals are absolutely useless if leaders aren't using them to find the problems, to find the waste, to find the disconnections, to find why a request for a VPN tunnel takes 6 weeks, right? That could be eliminated. And this is just at the heart of what we do as agilists, is this relentless pursuit of continuous improvement. And without highlighting where the problems are, which red and yellow does, nothing changes. It gets buried.
Lisa Adkins refers to that as an opportunity to get curious, right? So when those things happen, like, "Oh, that's interesting, tell me more," as opposed to like, "Ah, things are broken.
Hide it, I'm gonna get blamed. It wasn't me, I didn't get that ticket."
Right.
Right?
I mean, as humans, as people, we wanna classify things, right? We wanna put it in a little box and we wanna create a reference point that says, "Okay, that makes sense. I can cognitively understand that." It happens when you create over-genrefication in movies and music and whatnot. And one of the, which we sort of touched on early, but in the podcast, one of the things that I find most concerning or even problematic about using a RAG status for a project is that is you're lumping all these different possible permutations, situations, all these different things, all these moving parts into one wrapper, one status. I mean, and when I used to use CA Clarity at a previous job, and there was an overall project status, and then there were sub statuses for your for basically the nine areas of in the PMBOK, the nine areas of project management responsibility, stakeholder management, cost, time, quality, all that sort of stuff. And then I started thinking, well, this makes a little bit better sense, but however, how much is too much? How much are you going to split that hair? Right? And again, you're trying to grossly oversimplify the complexity of even the simplest software project nowadays is complex. You're trying to grossly oversimplify something into a one or two word, what amounts to a pithy description that you're hoping someone sees and has a knee jerk, almost lizard brain response to what that means. And I think to Andy's point, let's bring it full circle about red is good. You need to reprogram people's lizard brains to understand that, okay, that doesn't automatically create the fight or flight response. I need to dig further, an opportunity, like you said, Chris, an opportunity to be curious.
Right. Look here. So to summarize a little bit of this, right? When we choose red is good as a climate or a culture, right? We build this environment where these metrics and you use as many as you need, to expose the problems, not to assign blame. Why didn't you get me what I needed? Expose the problems. And I would even argue that if we can break these metrics down to visualize the pain, they have more value than any other ones, right? Because Jay, as you said earlier, you know, all these problems are opportunities for systematic change, right? And so bringing what is traditionally, quote, bad news, instead of being ostracized as a, "Oh shit, you know, he's red again," you're raised up. And there's no fear of going to senior or middle management because it's like, I have a problem and I have some ideas that might help solve it.
So that denotes, Andy, a culture of it's okay to go to senior management, whereas many organizations are like, if I go to them, then they're going to start digging into everything else going on, and I don't want any eyes on what I'm kind of doing. So let me kind of take what you said, Andy, and funnel it back to Jay. So Jay, we talk about really a red being an opportunity. So let me play devil's advocate and ask you this question. We talk about not having firefighter cultures and lighting fires where they don't need to be lit. Like, if we say red is good, do you see this as an opportunity for being abused to artificially create curiosity where one's needed?
I love that question, though.
That is a good question. So, yes. That's human nature, right? You find a hole, you exploit it. You find a way to use something to your benefit, and you're going to exploit it. So there is a chance for it to be exploited. However, I don't think it's any more or less likely to be exploited than we see today in our current train of thought. I do think it's red is a good opportunity. It's a chance for a notification of an opportunity. Raise a flag. Let's all gather around. I can see, now that you're forcing me to quote unquote red team it, I can see where people would mark stuff red on purpose. Maybe like the neglected middle child. I don't know if either one of you are the neglected middle child. If not, or if we have listeners that are the neglected middle child, I'm sorry. But, you know, traditionally they're always crying for help because the oldest gets all the discipline and the youngest gets spoiled. There is a chance that could be abused. However, I think those people would probably get found out pretty quickly, wouldn't they? What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think they would be exposed. There's a whole nother podcast in Middle Child. You know, it'd be interesting. I'm going to go on a little tangent here, like to track, project managers, scrum masters, where they are in birth order. I'm sure there's a correlation.
Oh, that's a psychology paper begging to be written.
But there's a paradox here that's being exposed. There's a paradox here, right? So do you raise up, do you surface problems and take the time to fix them, or do you bury them? And in the TPS mentality, in most of all the frameworks that come out of Agile, we embrace that paradox to say, look, Agile's not going to fix all your problems. It's just going to surface them.
Right.
It's up to you to take the time to fix them if you want to. There's an opportunity there to eliminate the waste, to eliminate the crap that is introduced. But if we never point to it, if it's always a watermelon, you lose that opportunity to make the system better.
Yeah, so that's interesting that you say that, because we really have an opportunity to make, I mean, whether you think green is good or red is good, I honestly think that this conversation is interesting, and we can when we get to the wrap up, we can kind of come back to this. But like, really, this is an opportunity to just discuss, like, what do we really mean when we say these things? And red, like, really the extremes, red and green, we can really make them whatever we want them to mean. You know, green can be ignored, or green can be praised. Red can be curious, or red can be bad. Whatever it is. We haven't talked about yellow yet. So Andy, my experience in yellow has been, the project starts and every project starts green because nothing's had really a chance to screw up yet. And it's, I find it shockingly curious how quickly projects go to green. I mean, go to yellow. And they kind of stay that way as a, like, well, we're not really on a timeline yet, but we're not red, so don't beat me up. Has that been your experience, or has it been something different?
I'm such a contrarian. I start my projects in red. I'm like,
oh, that's brilliant. I wanted to talk about that.
I have no history. You've given me, this is a semi-artificial construct, but I've got a new team. I've got unknown risks. I'm going in complex or chaotic environment. I have no idea of cause and effect. And you want me to say I'm green? No, I'm red until I know I'm yellow. and then like a couple of weeks before I deliver, I might be green. I flip it around and I take a lot of heat for that because so often I'm in a red is not good. How are you going to get to green? Over time, as I eliminate risks and uncertainty and surface the problems and fix them and eliminate the waste, I move from red to yellow to green. But if I start in green, bar's not very high. This is too easy.
A thousand VPs just sat up in bed and said, no!
I know! And then one of them wants to talk to me, right?
Right. So, all right. So, Jay, we get that Andy's the apple polisher and the star pupil of this podcast. Like, what about you? What's your experience?
I agree with what Andy says. I tried to do it once. It was almost disastrous to my career, and I stopped. If you just Google start every project red, and you get an interesting blog post by someone coming from the Project Management Institute, right? So PMI, you think PMP, you think traditional waterfall. But I think the reason why if you read through the post, the reason why he talks about starting every project red, it ties directly to the cone of uncertainty, which is an agile thing that we hear in the iterative space, right? So I think technically, yeah, you should be red because there's more. I'm going to quote Donald Rumsfeld and make myself nauseous, but there's your known knowns, your known unknowns, and your unknown unknowns. And at the beginning of a project, you have...
There's a fourth one, Jay.
Was there a fourth one?
The unknowable.
I always forget that one. I got to remember.
That's the damn center of the Kinefin model, right? Get the hell out of there.
Is there like an infinity to the nth power or something like that we can throw on the unknowables?
Could be.
Exponentially unknowable.
We've all worked there.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I cut you off in the middle of thought, right? So do you start off in red or yellow?
I honestly don't. I don't because I don't think let's put it this way. The last couple of places I've worked, I don't think the culture is ready. I think it would be like throwing a live ferret in a kindergarten classroom. It would be straight chaos, right?
That's right up your alley, Jay.
Well, yeah, because
is that like a New Jersey thing? I don't even know how to picture that.
Just picture a bunch of kids screaming and a rodent running around.
I'm sure there's a YouTube on it, and we'll put that in the show notes. But how do we get away from this dichotomy of, you know, VP sitting up in the middle of the night going, oh my God, who are these people we hired to shepherd our project? And how do we effectively communicate there are risks? We're trying to, you know, close them down, narrow the unknowns. We're probing. If this was all cookbook delivery, you wouldn't need us, right?
So, yeah, well, this brings up the notion of before I answer your, or at least give my take on it, Andy, would you stipulate that red, yellow, green is still needed in this environment? Or because, I mean, we could obviously say, who gives a crap whether we've got, red, yellow, green, right?
It is useful to have some agreed upon benchmarks.
Yeah, about where everybody's standing.
And what they mean, and if the conversation is, red is potentially good because it means, look here, there's an opportunity to make things better, make that argument. If we can come up with some other placeholder for that, by all means, let's use it. Maybe red, amber, green is too loaded because of, which one of you guys, you know, use the stop sign analogy? It means you're stopped.
Yeah.
Green means you're cruising through the intersection, not a problem.
So I would say that if we're going to try to make this agile in some way, shape, or form, that it starts with upfront expectations and conversation. So if we are truly speaking with our stakeholders, our VPs, our directors, or so on and so forth, and talking about when you have used this in the past, why do you feel that red is bad, and just say, and really take that back to the curiosity piece, right? So I honestly don't know that I'm experienced enough or even am skilled enough to say I know exactly how to do what you do, Andy, in terms of starting a project red. I don't know that I've quite put my career in danger like Jay did by doing that, but I just don't know how to say, take everything you know about green, yellow, red and flip it around and it not go over like a lead balloon, right? So you could start that expectation piece, but if they don't go down the road with you, well, I don't really know what else to do. I mean, Jay, what do you think?
I think you're right in the sense that it ties to a cultural change, right? It ties to a total reestablishment of cultural norms inside an organization. There's a lot of communication and leadership change that needs to come out of that needs to come before the idea of using this as a baseline standard where everything starts red and as we know more, it goes to yellow. And as we get good and we think we're great, we go to green. I think the biggest uphill battle is the cultural piece, right? And even getting leaders comfortable with, okay, well, this is red. I don't need to go into firefighting mode. I don't need to panic and start calling and yelling at people. I need to look into this opportunity and see what's going on there. One of the things that, slightly off topic, but relevant. One of the things that Andy brought up early on in the podcast, he talked about the Spotify health check model, which I'm a big fan of. And I am a big fan of it, not only because it has all these different categories and there's RAG statuses associated to them, but there's also the arrows which show trends, right? Which I think is super, super powerful because when you look at something that's red or green or yellow, that's point in time. That's at the moment I'm generating this PowerPoint status report, I am red. However, I could be red trending back to green. I could be red trending to yellow. I could be yellow trending to green, right? So the benefit is you can show inertia, right? You can show which way things are moving. And I think that would be much more helpful if we're going to continue to go down this path of red, yellow, and green. We need to show which way things are facing because that, I think, will lead to better conversations. What do you think, Andy, Armin?
You shared, Andy, an image of this in the blog post, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like you showed the colors trending certain directions, right?
Yeah, so that's lifted from one of the Spotify blogs. And I love that you circled that back, Jay, because I think that might be the key to unlocking at least the initial conversations where you add that trend overlay. Because wouldn't it be great to have the conversation is, we're green, but it's trending down. We're red, but it's trending up.
Right.
There's a whole nother layer of change happening. Or it's green and it's stable, or it's red and it's getting worse.
Right, right.
And then you really know where to look. That might be the key to unlocking at least the beginning of the cultural change, where we can have these conversations. Even if it's green, but it's getting worse, it's a look here moment.
Right,
right, right.
So... Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Just go on, Merman. Go on.
Okay. I mean, that opens up what can be our final question since we're getting near our time box. But so we've talked about things in terms of traditional project management type sphere and how can we look to, I hate the word change culture, but really just augment the culture with new ideas and try to see or just introduce some chaos or change and see what kind of happens. But if we as agilists say, are we really just spending our time trashing this tool? Like, we've said, well, metrics are great. And I know that we've mentioned that a couple of times, like you need something to communicate where we're at. And if you are still using the projects as the model of what you're doing, like, okay, fine. Even though product models are more successful. If you still are doing this and you still need to use the colors, often agilists are quick to say, I don't care about it, just move on. Is that an okay attitude for us to have? And I know that I'm kind of you know, kind of lobbing a grenade in your corner and just saying, have fun with it. But like, are we kind of being a little egotistical about this, or a little hoity toity about this? And are we really spending enough time understanding where our teams and clients are coming from? And if so, or if not, like, what should we do?
I'll take a stab at this one first. So, to answer your question, if you're going to say, oh, just forget it, trash it, move on, that is a traditional dogmatic agile practitioner, right? Where they're going to the dogma. I think there are a fair amount of dogmatists out there who just want to throw out anything waterfall, PMI, PMBOK related and say it's all bad news. And whenever I talk to people and they tell me that they're taking PMI classes or PMP classes, and what do I think of the CERT? How does that relate to Agile? I tell them that there is a lot of good knowledge in that PMBOK. And I don't think that we should just throw it out wholesale. However, I do think we need to repurpose it to better suit our needs. And maybe the key is communication, right? Maybe the key is education, getting everyone all the way up and down the corporate leadership totem pole to understand what we're trying to do and maybe come away with a better operating model. I think that's the key, but I don't think we should trash it. I do think we should investigate it and see if there are opportunities for improvement. What do you think, Andy?
There's always opportunities for improvement, and it's a question of picking where you want to start, where the greatest bang for the buck is. I really want to change the conversation from green is good to red is good, in creating this climate where it is safe and everyone embraces this intrinsic paradox that by continually surfacing problems and taking the time to fix them, we will see, obviously, the elimination of waste, but an increase, a soaring of productivity. And I think that's the essence behind red is good mindset. And I think that's the essence behind what Agile is about. Making it safe to say, there's a problem there, there's another one over there. Huh.
Which or even we, not even a problem, but an opportunity, right?
Or an opportunity. And what do we want to take the time to fix? Because if we fix it now, in the long term, we gain so much more.
Yeah. So, wonderful conversation. I, you know, Andy, you just were talking about changing the conversation. Often I feel like we need to have conversation at all, right? I mean, we're not even having conversation. So guys, this is what, and I feel like we could go for another like 2 hours on this. Maybe depending on the feedback and how everybody feels about this, we can come revisit this topic again after some more feedback. But, for right now, let's kind of pause there. So, let me throw it to both of you all. So Andy, we'll start with you. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation, and then we'll move over to Jay.
Oh, a couple places. Obviously, the coalition site, coalition.agileuprising.com, is a great place where you'll meet lots and lots of people. You can also read some of my ramblings at andyclef.com or the occasional tweet on at Just Sit There.
Okay, Jay, what about you?
Of course, like Andy, you can find me on the coalition, floating around there. I am on Twitter as Backdoor Agile. Yes, there is a double entendre there. And lastly, I've been doing a fair amount of blogging, just trying to get some stuff out on the coalition site itself. So I invite you to check it out and give me some feedback. I've been doing a lot of stuff lately around history and how there are trends in history that tie to Agile and project management concepts. I think the last one I did talks about General Custer and the invasion of Gallipoli and the planning fallacy.
That was a great post.
Thank you. I'm finding more and more things in history are relevant to, you know, what we do. History doesn't repeat it often rhymes. But yeah, that's the best place to find me. How about you, Mr. Merman?
So I am at Chris Merman, M-U-R-M-A-N, on Twitter, and of course chrismerman.com. I've been writing about just a lot of things that I feel like on the similar topic of the conversation, kind of struggling around Agile and what can we do about it. But definitely come to coalition.agileuprising.com. Find us all. I sure do appreciate all of you listening. That's the taxonomy coming out. And be sure to find us again soon.
Cheers, man.
Thank you.
Good talking.